and exalt. What do you think it means, this phrase, all your heart? I'd like to ask you to, we're still in our retreat, right? We can be a little bit different today. I want to ask you to guys to get into groups of two, three, or four, five, and talk for a minute. I want you to discuss symptoms of what a life looks like when it's less than all your heart. What are symptoms? Phyllis told us symptoms, dizziness, shortness of breath, blurred vision, different ones of those symptoms when all the heart is not working properly. What are symptoms in the spiritual life, the spiritual heart, when all your heart is not the case? Okay? Take a few minutes, get with those, jot them down. We're going to put them up on the screen in a minute, okay? I'll be asking for you. All right, let's talk about it. What does it look like in the life of a person that is not represented by all your heart, like these scriptures that we've just touched on? What does it look like? Call out, and we're going to have key those in so we can all see them. What are they? An unsteady walk with God, okay? Emptiness and aching. Okay, can't survive because of shallow. Numbness to sin. Uh-huh. Not so easily convicted, numb to sin. What was over here? Okay, weakness in thinking outwardly about the spiritual condition of others. Very good, very good. Fear of intimacy. What kind of intimacy? Horizontal as well as vertical. Very good. Okay, fear of intimacy. All right, saw some other. Critical attitude, lack of thankfulness. Uh-huh. Reluctance to take new steps of faith. I don't know. It's getting a little convicting over on this corner. Questioning God in crisis, huh, would be a sign of a heart that's not all your heart. Who is over here? Discontent and distraction. Lack of joy.
Bitterness, hard heart.
Coveting. Okay. We're just going to put everybody under the bus here, aren't we? Unwillingness to commit.
Selfishness.
Making wrong choices. All right. Rationalizing. Indifference. Wow. Are you sure you guys want to talk about this? I'm not so sure. Let me ask you the question. We'll keep that list up for a little bit. Why do you think God insists, why does he require an all-your-heart type of a person? Why did he use those 20 occasions in the scriptures to say, I want all your heart? Why do you think that? Does that sound just a little bit egotistical, maybe, for God to want all of you and... Well, maybe it does on first thought, but let me ask you a couple questions. Have you ever tried to have a serious conversation with someone when they're textbooking away or texting away or when they're Facebooking or IMing, right? You ever had to try have a conversation with somebody when they're really into that? How about, have you ever been out with a friend when whenever their cell phone rings, they just take the call and they have their whole conversation right there in front of you as soon as they hang up, another phone, how and they... Ever had one of those? Have you ever tried to talk to your husband about an important subject, but after a while it dawns on you that he's more interested in the TV show than in walking with you? Now, I'm not going to look up because I don't want to see any incriminating looks because I'm getting ready to give one the other side. Have you ever, men, had an intimate candlelight dinner with your sweetheart, but she's either looking at her watch, or she's going to the ladies' room to check her makeup, or she's noticing the people over at the other table, or always talking about her friends at work, or... You ever had any of those situations? It just feels great, doesn't it, to be a bump on a log, you know? A fifth wheel, right? You know, God doesn't appreciate that feeling either. And he says, look, I want a relationship with you, but not if you're only half interested. I want all your heart. So what is this, all your heart? What does all your heart mean? What do those three words mean? Well, I think it's every single ounce of fiber of me, every faculty, every capacity. It's the central focus. It's the fire in your bones. It's why you get up in the morning, isn't it? Or why do you get up in the morning? And he says, why are you getting up in the morning? Is it all about me, or you got other, you want to make the big deal today, you want to go here, you're interested? And a converse is of all your heart. The opposite of all your heart is what? Well, it's half-hearted. We have that saying, don't we? It's most of your heart. It's a partial heart. Baby, I love you with 87% of my heart. Boy, that just got me a lot of points, didn't it? No, I love you on the winter season, honey. You're everything to me from March through October. Some of the time. So let's ask the question, what are some indicators of where all your heart is in each of our lives? What would be some telltale signs that we might have that would give us indications of where the all your heart is? You know, the truth is, all of us are all your heart people. The question is whether all our heart is directed toward God or to something else. Sometimes we can look at where we spend our money to determine whether we're all your heart toward God people. Sometimes we look at how we spend our time. How about our best energies? Now, I'm an 11:30 at night, turn my attention to God person, and I usually make to about 11:33 before I conk out on the pillow, right? That's an all your heart type of person, isn't it? All your heart is not the fact of no competing interests. God doesn't take away the competing interests, but an all your heart person is one where the competing interests don't win. An all your heart person says, in spite of these competing interests, God, you've got my heart. All or nothing. Katie, bar the door, I'm all for you. That's an all your heart person, isn't it? I want you to get back in your small groups, and I want you to discuss some preventive measures that we can take to maintain an all-your-heart type of lifestyle. An all-your-heart toward God, how could we maintain that? Okay, you got that? Discuss how we could, steps we could take, preventive measures to maintain that, okay? All right, about ready? Okay, what are some preventive steps we can take to be all your hearts or to maintain all your hearts type of devotion to the Lord? Okay? Frequent or immediate confession of sin. Very good. All right? You guys, give us your best one. Intentional time with God each day. Anybody agree with that? Excellent. Good job. You guys got another one? Lots of prayer? Okay. Good. Stay in the Word. Excellent. Accountability to someone. What are we asking them to hold us accountable to?
A friend, a wife.
Okay. Okay.
Complete
honesty and openness with God and with others. Easier said than done. Surrender to His will. That one's easy, right? Very good, Tor. Develop holy, H-O-L-Y, habits, not H-O-L-E-Y. All right, holy habits. What would some holy habits be, Katie, since we got your... Okay, very good. Keep a Christian song on your mind, like the one we sang. Sing a new song to the Lord. Very good. Uh-huh. Remember the commandments. Very good, especially the all of your heart ones. Interaction with other Christians. Very good. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But that only applies, what, twice a month, right? Twice a year? Christmas and Easter? Okay. So anybody who's doing twice a month is really doing well, right? Okay. Tongue in cheek, right? Okay. So putting, learning my spiritual gifts and using them, putting feet to this thing, this walk of the Lord. Okay. Ken. Asking other people to pray and support you. Very good. Tim. A thankful heart will be a tool to keep me an all-your-heart person. Very good. Anyone else?
Confess your sins.
Confess your sins. Uh-huh. Very good. Chrissy?
And then
remaining teachable. Okay. We all got these, right? Check, 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 check. Check, 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 check. Woo. Okay. You know how a lot of us deal with symptoms, though? The same way we deal with heart symptoms. You know what? If we ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll fix itself, right? If we're honest with ourselves, we operate in the spiritual realm too much like we operate in the physical realm. And before we know it, we got an EKG like that bottom one. Not many mountains at all. But you know, with the physical heart, we get regular checkups. With the physical heart, there are scanning devices. Well, there are with the script, with the spiritual heart too. The scriptures, his word, the spirit convicts. Do you know that there are stress tests for the physical heart? And sometimes God brings along a stress test for our spiritual heart as well. You know, in the physical heart, we go to great lengths to find treatment necessary to fix a problem. What kinds of great lengths do we go to fix a heart that is less than an all-your-heart type of heart? With a physical heart, we say, you know, I'm going to have to cut out the curly fries. What do we cut out to maintain an all-your-heart healthy person in the spiritual heart? In the physical heart, if it's not dealt with, it can prove fatal, right? In the physical heart, it's the little things that encroach and they build, and pretty soon there's a catastrophic failure. Is it any different in the spiritual realm? The sad reality is no. The scripture says, the love of many grows cold. The love of many hearts grows cold. Some people leave their first love. Listen to these scriptures. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. And here's what God said about his people. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, their heart became proud. Then they forgot me. When Uzziah became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. Those people didn't do their regular heart checkups to make sure that they maintained an all-your-heart. At one time, each of those people were all-your-heart people. But they didn't take the steps that we just talked about on that list and others to maintain an all-your-heart devotion to God. Let me ask you another question about an all-your-heart person. What will it cost you to be an all-your-heart person? Well, the simple answer is everything, right? It costs everything to be an all-your-heart person. Did you have a thought, George?
Yes.
Very good. So just a failure doesn't mean you're scrapped on the junk heap of God's dealings, right? Bob? The good can become the enemy of the best. Well, back to what it's going to cost us. It costs us our agenda. It costs us our own comfort. It costs us our own goals. It costs us control. Control of our own day, of our own projects and our ambitions and our objectives. Control of the next 6 months of my life might go away if I am an all-your-heart person toward God, right? It costs everything. But it's not all duty and burden. Listen to this word. The Lord says, it will come about if you listen carefully, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. It will come about that if you do that, that he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and you'll be satisfied. So it's not all just duty. God is doing that because he knows that's how he designed us. He has made us to be all your heart people toward him. And when we are less than all your heart people, when our heart is devoted to other things and we're only 50% people toward God, or it doesn't work out well. And God knew that when he designed us, and he is directing us that way. We're supposed to be all your heart people. But sometimes we don't pay attention to that instruction manual. Be an all your heart person, God says. Serve me, love me, trust me, obey me with all your heart. That's when you'll be fulfilled. And that's when I will bring to you the abundance and the lushness of life. But sometimes we put that instruction book down and we think we might have a better way. Sometimes we just don't pay attention to the instructions. 9 days ago, U.S. Airways Flight 1549 took off from New York's LaGuardia Airport. 4 minutes after takeoff, climbing up through 3,200 feet, the plane encountered a double bird strike and lost power in both engines. The pilot quickly nosed the plane into a dive to maintain airspeed and began to look for a place to land. Realizing he could not make it to any runway, he headed that big plane toward the Hudson River. And he came on the intercom and he said to everyone on board, "Brace for impact." One man sitting in an emergency exit row thought to himself, "I've heard these safety instructions thousands of times, but here I am. What do I do?" Well, you know the incredible thing that happened and how 155 people survived that crash landing in the river. Afterwards, that man who was sitting in the emergency exit row was interviewed, and this is what he said: "Next time, I am going to listen very carefully to the safety instructions so I'll be ready to act." God has given us more than just safety instructions. He's given us the design template of how he built us. We're to be all your heart people, not 92% people, not 64%, all your heart people. But unfortunately, sometimes it takes a crash landing in the river for us to realize we need to listen with all our heart. I'm going to ask you to bow with me. And I'm going to ask in the next few moments that you think about these words, all your heart. I'm going to ask Carol to just play. The rest of you just stay where you are for seated now. I want you to think. We have time. Think about that phrase, all your heart. Does God have all your heart? Or are you just gazing out the window of life while the flight attendant is doing her thing with the safety instructions? Reflect on this. Do I love God with all my heart? Am I trusting him with all my heart? Am I serving him with all my heart? Am I obeying him? Am I turning to him? When I fall, am I returning to him with all my heart? Am I an all-your-heart person to God?